T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I have just 2 words for you.
Right now, it's Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Hey, it's Hancock and Kelly sitting in for Mark Reardon. He'll be back with you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We're going to get you through to Total Information PM. But, John, we have some heavyweight, important people in the studio with us.
We do indeed. We are joined by our own lovely Carol Daniel and our great news director here at the Voice of St. Louis, Beth Coughlin. And tomorrow is going to be a very special day for a very special family member here at KMOX, Beth.
Yeah. So this all came about because we miss Brett. You may have noticed that Brett Bloom hasn't been on our air for a few months now. He's battling multiple types of cancer, another completely unrelated disease that is hindering his fight against the cancer. He just got out of Barnes this past Thursday after spending a month there. It gets to be lonely, and we all feel like we want to help and do something. And so he has gotten 26 pints of blood in the process of all the treatment, and 10 units of platelets. So we thought, well, the best thing we could do is bleed Bloom for Brett Bloom. And so we're going to have a blood drive tomorrow in Edwardsville. Carol will be there all day. His wife will be there. Unfortunately, Brett is unable to leave the house right now. But this is just all in support of our colleague. I mean, you guys know we spend a lot of time with our colleagues, sometimes more than we do with our spouses or children. And cancer and these types of things affect everyone. And there's something we can do. You know, there's something we can all do to help each other. So this is just kind of our way of doing this for Brett.
Well, we love Brett. And he's been just such a great part of this family for so many years. Carol, you've worked alongside of Brett for all of those
years. I've been teased without mercy by Brett.
Yeah.
For over a decade.
And you'll be spending the...
We love each other because of that.
You'll be spending the whole day
yes.
out there in Edwardsville tomorrow. It's going to be a special time.
It really is. And the reason that, and I don't know the specific reason, but I can just take a stab at why we're calling it We Bleed Bloom. Because Brett... There are many, many Blues fans in this newsroom, and he leads that pack. And there's no better way to connect the two, his love of the Blues, his love of what he does for a living, and his love of his coworkers, and we love him back, than to call it We Bleed Bloom. And Brett, everybody has a personality. If you think about your own family, your own workplace, those of you who are listening now, you know, you've got that, you know, that one cousin who, you know, brings the funny to Thanksgiving, that other cousin that sometimes you're like, okay, what is he going to say about it now? You know, Brett has a very distinct personality. He loves cars and music and books and comics and
to doodle, to art.
He is an artist.
He's an artist.
Great doodler. And he loves his family. He loves his wife and he loves his son. He's an SIUE graduate. He is a hometown boy, homegrown. And to be missing him like this, we just can't even explain. People know, you know, when someone from your family, you know, is undergoing a challenge, what you want to, how you feel about it. And we're on the outside looking in, because this is a challenge that only he can handle physically, right? But with Beth's leadership and our program director, Steve Moore, for months now, weeks, we've been saying, okay, what can we do? We visit. We went to the hospital together one time. We played games.
We played
board games for hours with him. Very competitive. This woman right here and Brett Bloom, very competitive. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this man is in the hospital fighting cancer. Can you let him win a game?
Who won?
I don't even remember.
The board got thrown. Pieces of flying. It was one of those things.
It was one of those.
What does this look like tomorrow, Beth? Somebody wants to come out and help. They show up, and what's going to happen?
So we're doing this with the Red Cross, and they are in desperate need of blood. In fact,
anyway,
I talked to Brett's wife, Kathy, not too long ago, and she said she's getting a lot of inquiries about, well, what type of blood is Brett? But it doesn't matter. They need everything. She's encouraging everybody to come. So it's from noon to 6. It is at the Metro East Lutheran High School. You can get online on KMOX.com and make an appointment if you need to be there at a certain time. Otherwise, walk-ins are completely welcome. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm going to be giving away Cardinals tickets. Like I said, Kara will be there all day.
You'll be there all day.
Mark Scores will be there. I'll be there. Reardon will be there. Brian Kelly's going to stop by. Megan Lynch. So...
You just have to show up.
Just show up. That's all we need. Yeah.
And like you said, if you need to make a specific appointment because you've got things to do, you can do that. But you certainly can just show up. Just show up.
You know, it means a lot.
All workplaces, you know, have a certain family aspect to them. But this place, Camo X, is different, Carol. I don't know if it's the rich history here. I don't know if it's the fact that we have the largest news operation of any radio station in hundreds of miles from this spot. And because the people who have been here for decades and decades. This is a special place. And we have a special relationship with our listeners. And Brett's part of that.
He is absolutely part of that. Someone told me years ago, and I've been here 24 years, and when I started, someone said to me that people will claim you. Because that's what St. Louisans do. They will claim you. You will be a part of their family. I've had people say to me, you're the only voice in my house. People who live alone, you're the only voice in my house. And
they
some
obviously
people,
don't live with George Ann.
Wow. You better not be mean to my George Ann, okay? And so that is the relationship that we have. And it's special because it's talk radio. It's special because this is information sharing. And it's special because this is the way that we are and have been for 90 years in St. Louis. And people have always claimed KMOX as their own. They know when my children were born. They know where Brett went to college. They know about his son.
We know where you buy your clothes.
Is that Don Rogers?
Yeah.
He didn't know.
And so that relationship is one that we really want to tap into and say a part of your family is hurting, and the American Red Cross of Greater St. Louis is always here, and they do what they do so well, and there's no other relationship that we would tap into than with the Red Cross to make this happen. So you'll help Brett, but you will help this region.
So give us the details one more time for people who are listening who might want to be able to participate.
Okay, it's noon to 6 with the American Red Cross. It's at the Metro East Lutheran High School, which is on Center Grove Drive. And I've got all that information on our website, social media, Twitter, everything. You can walk up. You can make an appointment if you want. Just please help us.
Okay. Is there something else? Like, I'm not going to be able to make it by tomorrow, but I'd like to do something. Is there something somebody can do? Sometimes people can't donate blood either. What can they do to participate? Can they make a contribution in Brett's name?
Absolutely. And the Red Cross, they really need help. I mean, Brett aside, and you know, that was a great opportunity to help him. But, I mean, they're really short of every kind of blood and platelet right now. So any donation is helpful. Yeah, absolutely.
We Bleed Bloom, and it's going to take place tomorrow from noon until 6 at the Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville. Stop on by. Carol will be there. Beth's going to be there. Amy, Mark Scores, Mark Reardon, all going to be there tomorrow. Thinking about our family member, our brother, Brett Bloom, in this time of trial. Thanks so much for you guys coming in, for what you do. Thanks to Brett. His family is in our thoughts and our prayers right now. Michael and I are going to step aside. When we come back, we are going to visit with CBS News military analyst Major Mike Lyons about the multifaceted issues going on right now in Iran. That's next on KMOX.
We're on the 1-2.
Two for two.
It's Hancock and Kelly on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Welcome back to KMOX. It's Hancock and Kelly sitting in for Mark Reardon. He'll be back with you tomorrow. And John, in the midst of all the chaos that's going on inside of American politics, we have some huge world events that are taking place right now with Iran. And joining us on the KMOX guest line is CBS News military analyst and retired Army Major Mike Lyons. Major, how are you?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. So we hear the news this over the weekend that the Iranians wound up landing on top of one of a British tankers and taking control of it. At the same time, Iran saying that they have captured 17 CIA operatives. Bring us up to speed on everything that happened over the weekend.
Yeah, so the Iranians, in a way that only they can do, find the soft parts and the soft targets of their enemies right now that go after this British tanker. And you have over the weekend the British foreign minister admit that the UK does not have the naval assets in order to secure these types of operations and do its mission worldwide. Those are pretty tough comments from a country that just 100 years ago probably was the preeminent naval power within the world. Then you had this morning the report of the Iranians claiming that they have arrested 17 Iranian citizens who were spies for the United States. I mean, we'll never admit to that that's the case. I think that is a difficult push, knowing full well that Iran's been a very close society since the revolution, and difficult for us to maintain people that are there and to communicate with them without the Iranian government already knowing about them. So it's likely they just arrested 17 dissidents, but their fate is unknown, and it's likely to do what Iran does and hang people in the middle of the square.
Speaking to the specifics of the tanker, I guess it was an act of piracy is what the Brits are saying. Have the Iranians spoken publicly to justify their actions?
Well, I think they said that the tanker was violating some international law or some, believe it or not, environmental issue, got too close to something. I just find that a stretch for the country saying that. But this is basically challenging the UK. And I don't know what that's going to do in order to separate the United States from the UK when it comes to working together. If anything, it's going to force the UK to work closer with the US, who has the military power in the region. Now, the Iranians also do this in order to try to move the market. But we're seeing more and more that what their actions are, it just doesn't impact the market at all. The fact that they feel that there's not going to be a conflict there. So who knows if they're miscalculating strategically? That's the thing. We've all assumed that Iran's been a rational actor here, but we just don't know whether or not that's the case. Our red line seems to be casualties, and we're not going to do anything until we have them. And let's hope that's not the case.
Well, the foreign policy is all over the playing field here. We are visiting with CBS News military analyst, Army Major Mike Lyons. You've got the Europeans now are saying they're going to develop a maritime protection operation for the European ships that are in the region. The United States has pulled out of the nuclear deal. Our European allies would prefer to stay in it. You've got Israel over here who's very leery of Iran. And all of these actors, is anybody quarterbacking the world response here?
No, not at all. And that's one of the things that could happen here. It could force the Europeans and the United States to get together. But we've left Israel out of the equation from the very beginning. The Obama administration didn't care that Israel felt that the Iran treaty was a joke from their perspective and did not secure Israel's national security. And they will tactically do something if they feel that the Iranians have this capability, as they said that they've started to enrich. There's no reason for the Iranians to be enriching uranium right now because they could buy that on the market. They could buy that from the Russians. They could buy that from other countries. And so what Israel could possibly do is they get to a certain place militarily where they go after the Iranians, and they're not looking to set them back forever or put them into the Stone Age. But what they would do is look to set their program back for 25 or 30 years, which is what can be done from a military perspective.
Yeah. And now into this equation, relatively new within the last decade or so, is Russia. They've got a major stakehold now in Syria. How are they playing in the midst of all of this turmoil as it relates to Iran?
Yeah, so the way it could line up is you have Russia now supporting the Iranians. They'll sell them oil. Obviously, they could sell them the enriched uranium as well. But China also is a wild card. We've allowed China actually to take some Iranian exports, given that China, such a big country, needs this, and as part of one of our concessions based on our deals with China and try to help out North Korea. It's all connected on a kind of crazy level. But if it goes south, the worst possible thing is the Chinese, the Iranians, and the Russians, and yeah, the Syrians, they get together, form this alliance, so to speak. Then you have Israel with potentially Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia comes out against Iran today. Europe and the United States, I mean, it's got all of the makings of the next world war. And I'm not trying to be alarmist about this, but I'm more convinced than ever that the war drums continue to beat. And all it's going to take somebody to light that fuse for it to go. What's that fuse look like? We just don't know what it is yet. Does Iran start it or does Israel start it?
Well, and this is a story that largely because of all of the chaos in our politics here domestically, I don't know it's gotten the attention that it merits because it is a very serious situation. The U.S. sanctions have had a profound impact on the Iranian economy, continue to do so. And in the midst of the drone shootings, we're seeing a slight uptick, 500 U.S. troops introduced into the region. But I think if any rational observer would look at this and conclude that this is heating up.
Yeah, and I think the U.S. doesn't feel that threatened by it because we would see more military assets being stepped up aside from 500 going to Saudi Arabia. I think that is just not enough to impact the battle on any level. But we would fight this any war. And when you think about it, how does Israel go to war with Iran? So from a military perspective, you look at it and say there's countries that sit in between them, for example, Iraq and Syria. So what is the Iranians move troops through? I mean, it's kind of crazy to think how a ground war would take place there. Maybe they could be pre-positioned inside of Syria. Hard to say. But it clearly would start and end from the air because the Iranians also have ballistic missile technology that's capable of reaching Israel from there. And that's probably their deterrence from Israel attacking.
One of the words you mentioned is a potential world war. And obviously that we were a long way from that. But is there any rumblings of a NATO summit or actions to pull together the United Nations to start having conversations to avoid a significant conflict?
Yeah, there should be a NATO inside of the Middle East, on and above itself, of some of the countries there. And if they had those kind of alliances. Now, also the downside is these level of alliances is what led us to the First World War. Go back 100 years from now, that's as countries got attacked. So you bring NATO into the equation. Now you've got countries that are saying, wait a minute, I'm not going to be sending troops to the Middle East to do exactly what? UN peacekeeping, whatever the case may be. I think that would just escalate things in a manner that the other side then could feel threatened, which would form those alliances, like I said, and that could be more of an accelerant of a combat situation as opposed to a decelerant going the other direction.
Before we let you go, Major Lyons, last question. Here we sit, all of these things going on. What would de-escalation look like in the short term as it relates to Iran?
Well, nobody wants to give an inch, and neither does this administration. But if the Iranians decide to negotiate, come to the table without any type of preconditions, that would be a start to start. And if we get that, I think we're eventually going to have to give up something. Same with North Korea. And in all these situations, these countries want something for something. What the Iranians want is commerce. They want the European markets to open up to them that have been closed. We've reshut those down. That's what they want, and they know that they need to do that. They don't want to open up their facilities for a wide open inspection. And frankly, that first deal that we signed in 2015 gave them a bomb in 10 years. It just kicked the can down the road. So we've got to get something in place. Well, my answer is we have to send inspectors that go and live in Iran that make sure that they're not doing what they say that they shouldn't be doing, and make sure they're in complete compliance with any deal that they signed.
That's CBS News military analyst, retired Army Major Mike Lyons. Thanks for the insight. We're going to keep our eye on this very, very difficult situation in the Middle East. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And shifting gears to domestic politics, the President of the United States had a 40-minute long news availability today. We're going to break that down, have some sound for you, and Bernie Sanders stepping up to his unionized campaign employees. We'll talk about that when we return right here on KMOX.
Get ready for the Cards and Pirates tonight. Amron Total Access 510. First pitch 6:05. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Well, while we have all these big issues going around the world, John and Iran, we've all been consumed with what's been one of the more interesting couple of weeks in United States politics, which is saying something.
Well, no doubt. You know, it started off, gosh, just over a week ago where Nancy Pelosi started getting out in front and then distancing, trying to distance these four congresswomen from the balance of her caucus. And into that storm strode the president of the United States.
He goes to his rally in South Carolina and says, allows the chant of
send them back
to go on for 15 seconds. Later tries to clean it up the next day and say, hey, I had nothing to do with that. But then this weekend doubles down, sends some folks out on the Sunday talk shows. And it's essentially we're having a big race conversation in both parties on so many things. It's absolute lunacy what's going on.
Well, it's an interesting time, and the president spent a considerable amount of time today trying to kind of right this ship of the narrative of the story as it relates to the squad. And he had some pretty hard things to say. Let's get a little cut of what the president of the United States had to say about the squad earlier today.
They're very bad for our country. I really think they must hate our country. I think the four congressmen we're talking about, the congresswomen, what they've said about Israel, what they've said about our country, when they talk about disgusting people, when they talk the way they talk, when the one mentioned that brown people should speak for brown people and Muslim people should speak for Muslim people. And you hear all this, it's not what our country is all about. No, I think they're very bad for our country. I think they're very bad for the Democrat Party. I think you see that. And they're pulling the Democrats way left. Nobody knows how to handle them. I feel they're easy to handle. To me, they're easy to handle because they're just out there. They're very bad for our country, absolutely.
Well, the president referring to the squad. Now, that's a name they gave themselves,
right?
The four of these folks gave themselves. Now, they had that had come after a vote that had happened in the United States Congress where all the Democrats had stood together with Nancy Pelosi, with the exception of these a couple of congresswomen. And then the president, he can't help himself but to get involved in a he could have sat on the sidelines and let the Democratic Party just fight with itself, but he injected himself
he
in.
He did. And, you know, there's two very different schools of analysis on that, and we get into that in a little bit. But you have the one school that says, you know, when your opponent is in the midst of self-destructing,
get out of the way.
Get out of the way. That would be the more traditional political approach to something like this. And there's the other school of thought that's saying, if you can step into a fray and force your enemies to unite behind their most extreme factions, that you've achieved a political goal there. And that's clearly where the president's strategic mind
is. And the president doesn't
is.
Have Hillary Clinton this time to make his enemy. And so he would surely like these four congresspeople to be the standard bearer of the Democratic Party. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a bit. Then today, I mean, this was quite a news conference the president had.
Yes, it was.
As you know, Robert Mueller, who we can all recall when it came out, put out his report, then wound up coming out after Mr. Barr gave his analysis and said, here are the facts. I don't intend to ever speak on this publicly. Well, the Democrats are bringing him into Congress this week.
Yeah, Wednesday. They're hoping for a big, big show on Wednesday. Robert Mueller appearing before the House committee, and the president weighed into that topic as well.
No, I'm not going to be watching. Probably, maybe I'll see a little bit of it. I'm not going to be watching Mueller because you can't take all those bites out of the apple. We had no collusion, no obstruction. We had no nothing. We had a total no collusion finding. The Democrats were devastated by it. They went crazy. They've gone off the deep end. They're not doing anything. They're not doing health care. They're not doing infrastructure. They're not lowering drug prices. I'm lowering drug prices.
So then the president went on with some other comments on Robert Mueller, and listen to this.
And Robert Mueller, I know he's conflicted. He had a lot. There's a lot of conflicts that he's got, including the fact that his best friend is Comey. But he's got conflicts with me, too. He's got big conflicts with me. As you know, he wanted the job of the FBI director. He didn't get it. And we had a business relationship where I said no. And I would say that he wasn't happy. Then all of a sudden he gets this position. But you know what? He still ruled, and I respect him for it. He still ruled. No collusion, no obstruction. And this thing should have ended a long time ago. This has been going on for 2.5 years.
Did he really rule no obstruction? That's one of the things I guess we'll find out this week.
Well, that's what Congress is going to try and get out of it. And, you know, this has the potential, I think, of blowing up in the Democrats' faces.
Potentially. But then when you have the president going out there trying to salt the earth and kicking Robert Mueller in the teeth and saying stuff like that he wanted a job that nobody is reporting that he wanted a job that the president's saying he wanted. The only the president's saying that. So maybe he's laying the groundwork. We're going to talk about the high-stakes poker game that the Democrats are playing with bringing Robert Mueller to Congress. But boy, that's in midst of another high-stakes poker game that they have going on, which is the push from those on the left and in the Democratic Party who want to see this president impeached. Well, the president had something to say about that as well.
It's nonsense, okay? They tried an impeachment vote, and they got slaughtered last week. They got absolutely slaughtered. It was the most ridiculous. I didn't even know they were going to do it. And I'll tell you, just in finishing, I have a lot of respect for the Democrats, because most of them voted against impeachment last week. And I have a lot of respect for those Democrats that did that, because they're doing the right thing for the country. No collusion, no obstruction.
Well, the president was busy. We're going to have to take a little bit of time, John, to break this down. And yes. We also are going to talk about one other topic.
Yes, a little analysis coming your way after the break. We're also going to visit about our good friend, Bernie Sanders, who was so proud of the fact that he was the first presidential campaign to unionize his campaign employees. And then it came out that he, the author of the $15 an hour mandatory minimum wage for the country that he would impose on the country, Bernie was not paying that $15 an hour to his own campaign employees.
Ruh-roh.
Uh-oh. And then, so Bernie decided he was going to pay $15 an hour because...
They cut their hours.
Because that's the revolution. He's going to have the revolution, and he's going to pay the $15 an hour for the revolution. And then he cut their hours. You are correct, sir. Why? Because economics... affects all of us, even in the midst of a revolution.
KMOX is St. Louis's news, talk, sports, radio.
Our little Goo Goo Dolls coming in for the Hancock and Kelly Show, sitting in for Mark Reardon. Mark will be back with you tomorrow, but he will be at the We Bleed Bloom blood drive. And if you all know Brett Bloom, you've heard his great reporting right here on KMOX. We encourage you to come out tomorrow from noon to 6 p.m., to the Metro East Lutheran High School at 6305 Center Grove Road in Edwardsville, Illinois. You can donate blood, give a couple of bucks maybe for in honor of Brett Bloom. He is fighting for his life, and we want to help him out. All of the KMOX radio talent will be over there tomorrow. Mark Reardon's going to be there. Amy Markscorse is going to be there. Carol Daniel. You hear the voices right here on the radio. You might as well see him in person and do something good. Give a little bit of blood.
Yeah, it'd be a great event. We were able to visit with Carol Daniel and, of course, our own news director, Beth Coughlin, earlier in the show. And it's a very special day for a very special man.
Well, and it's been a special political season. We are going into the second attempt of Bernie Sanders to run for the president of the United States as a socialist under the Democratic Party.
Yes.
John Hancock, you found something of particular interest as it related to Colonel Sanders.
This guy is, he's done. I mean, he is done. I mean, here he is, the man who campaigned on and has advocated for as long as I can remember, a mandatory $15 an hour minimum wage that he wants to impose on the entire United States economy. Well, it came out that his own campaign workers, who are unionized now, they were not being paid $15 an hour, because, you know, on a campaign, you know, that's a lot of money. So Bernie says, my bad, and so he's going to pay him $15 an hour. And then they realize there's a campaign budget.
Right.
And so what he did is he cut the hours back, which is exactly what would happen in the real marketplace. It's actually, Bernie is providing a great lesson in the free enterprise system here for all of us. But he's done, buddy. I mean, he's done.
Let's talk a little bit about this, because what's kind of interesting here is the concept of being unionized in a campaign, when this came up, was a head-scratcher to me. The idea behind unionizing is that you are there to negotiate for wages, hours, and working conditions of the people that are working for a company or an industry. A campaign, in its nature, is a volunteer organization. People voluntarily give money to it.
Right.
A lot of people come in and volunteer for campaigns. That's how it's always worked. Now, campaigns later have evolved where they get some paid staff, et cetera, et cetera. But John Hancock, you and I run campaigns for a living.
Yeah.
We've done this our entire life. There's no set hours of a campaign. Anything can happen in a campaign. And what's crazy about a campaign is when the rest of the world maybe takes 2 days off because it's Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, that's not the case in a campaign.
Exactly.
And there's no set hours. So I never understood how this was going to work. So it sounds like he was paying them base level compensation of a salary.
Yeah.
But said he was going to pay $15 an hour. He boxed himself into his own trick. It was inevitable that it was going to be a disaster.
And the way politics works, the way these campaigns work, is you hire your kids, you know, either at or just graduated from college, who want an entry level position in a campaign. It's exciting. It's invigorating. It's a great experience. My son did it right out of college, and they work their tails off. They go out and they stay up until 2 in the morning, and they're running spreadsheets, and they're organizing volunteers and deploying them to hit doors and make phone calls. And you're working 60, 70, 80 hours a week on that campaign for not a lot of money. And the people who perform well, there's a great – politics is one of the industries where if you're good –
yes.
You advance rapidly.
Well, and let's talk about that, because the idea of volunteering on a campaign, that's what, you know, I'm sure a lot of listeners here maybe voted volunteered for John Kennedy or volunteered for Richard Nixon or Ronald Reagan. Who knows?
Right.
The key word there being volunteering. It's this new concept that we're starting to pay the people. But at the end of the day, it's a volunteer. And you're there because you believe in the cause.
Exactly.
You're there, you believe in the messages, and then maybe you can help them implement. This isn't a place where you go to make a living. It's not like going to McDonald's where I'm going to provide you with an hour of service and you're going to provide me with this much money. You are going in a campaign because you have a belief system that you support.
You do, and it's one of the things that has always appealed to me about politics is it really is the cream rises to the top quickly. And these young people that go and pour themselves into campaigns, when the campaign is over, the ones that were the best, they get hired, and then soon they'll be a political director on a campaign. And then maybe
they go work in government.
Right. And it's a great gateway.
So we've given this a good 5 minutes,
yes,
of picking on Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
And if you turned on Fox News, that's what they're going to spend a lot of time on.
He's done.
What is amazing to me is the pivot. I participated in picking on Bernie Sanders here.
Yes.
The president of the United States, since the day he announced he was running for president and came down the escalator, John, started with very racial undertones in his campaign. He ratcheted them up when we had a Muslim ban. He continued to go further, and he's continued to go further. Now he's going after congressmen and then saying they ought to go back to where they came from. Now, why is it that I can sit here and have this conversation with you about Bernie Sanders being a hypocrite, but can we agree that this president is race baiting?
He certainly could have handled the situation with the squad better than he originally came out of the gate. And I thought the send them back chants in North Carolina were entirely inappropriate. And that's the kind of thing that a candidate should shut down.
But what about the doubling down and the tripling down on the tweets? And hence, this is on the heels of Charlottesville. I mean, it's just one race thing after another.
There are so many appropriate and powerful ways to discuss the policies and the rhetoric of AOC and Tlaib and Omar. So, you know, there's he's doing that now. You know, he's really kind of focusing in on what they have said and the rhetoric they have employed. And appropriately, in my opinion, he's pointing out that what they are espousing is dangerous for the country and not helpful for our dialogue.
And it's not dangerous what he's espousing?
Well, he should not have opened an avenue to be attacked for being a racist. And he did that in the way he approached this issue on the front end. I can't see Donald Trump's heart. I mean, I don't know. But I do know that there was a way to differentiate good conservative policies from where those four are on the ideological spectrum without introducing the racial component into that.
I'm going to agree with
debate.
You. I can't see his heart either, but I can see his words. I can hear his voice. Sure sounding like a racist to me. I think if we went back in time and listened to what David Duke was saying when he was running for the governor or the senator in Louisiana, awfully similar rhetoric.
This is
the man, president of the United States.
David Duke was a member of the KKK. Donald Trump is not.
How do we know that the president's not?
Well, he's not a member of the
KKK.
Well,
lots of people are talking.
David Duke was the grand wizard.
From different places. I mean, come on. This guy's rhetoric is so far over the top. It's sickening. It's disgusting. What I'm afraid of, John, is where are we a year from now? If the president's allowing this kind of a talk to happen right now, if you watch Donald Trump, everything is about escalation. It's never about a new policy. He just continues to double down on his rhetoric. Where are we going to be next year? Are we going to be talking about Greek people going home? Irish?
How do you explain the fact that his approval rating is the second highest this quarter than it's ever been in his presidency?
The economy's rolling.
It is.
But it's starting to fall apart in the rest of the world. Pay attention.
Well, we will see what happens. When we come back, we do need to step aside. He's Michael Kelly, and I'm John Hancock, in for Mark Reardon. When we come back, we're going to visit about a little naked bike riding. That's next on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.